There's a new book out called Mommy Goose Rhymes from the Mountains. It's written by Mike Norris with carved illustrations by Minnie Atkins. It's from the University Press of Kentucky. And this is a unique children's book with the use of carvings by the well-known folk artist Minnie Atkins to illustrate it. Mike, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You and Minnie are both from Kentucky and have a strong Appalachian background. How did this collaboration come about on the book, and when did you first meet Minnie Atkins?
Well, Minnie and I met because of Mikhail Baryshnikov, the dancer and actor. I was working at Center College in Danville, Kentucky at the time, and Baryshnikov was coming on campus to get an award to perform and to do some master classes with students. And Minnie was coming that same weekend to receive the Norton Award for Achievement in the Arts in Kentucky. Normally, I wouldn't work, but that was such a fraught weekend that they called me in, and I was to squire Minnie and Garland around because they knew I spoke Appalachian. And when I met Minnie, if you've ever met one of those people that after about 5 minutes you feel like you've known them your entire life, that was what happened. And I noticed immediately how generous she was. She was wearing these carved animals, foxes and bears, and somebody would say, "Oh, that's a beautiful necklace." And she said, "Well, here, honey, just take it home with you." Well, true to form, at the end of the weekend, she gave me a beautiful blue guitar, which is actually the last image in this book. That was in 1992. And I gave her a cassette tape I had recorded with the Raggedy Robin String Band. And she called me up after about a week and said, "Well, I wished you hadn't given me that tape." And I said, "Well, why, Minnie?" And she said, "Well, it's got that song on it about the bright blue rooster, and I can't quit thinking about it, and it's aggravating me." And I said, "Well, just lay down. Maybe you'll feel better after you rest." About a week, I got a big box in the mail. Here was this beautiful carved blue rooster with a plumed tail. I put it on my mantle. Then I couldn't quit thinking about it. Long story short, I called her up and said, "If you'll carve all these critters, I think we can make a book." And they started arriving in the mail. So we did Bright Blue Rooster, which was published about 20 years later. Then we did a book called Sonny the Monkey. And this last one is Mommy Goose Rhymes from the Mountains.
So this is your third work with her.
That's right.
So does she send you the carvings and then you write the rhymes?
Well, it's happened different ways. With the Bright Blue Rooster, I had written the song, and she heard the song and then did the carvings to the song. The lyrics to the song are identical to what's in the book. Sonny the Monkey, I wrote it for her, specifically wrote the story, and then wrote a song which was much shorter. It would have been too long. And then this one, I wrote the text, and while she did the carvings, then I wrote the song, which was, this project has fallen out in a kind of, I hate to say it, but magical is the only word I can think of. Most of these rhymes came to me in the car while I was driving from Lexington to Moorhead to meet Minnie to work on these the other two books. And so when I got about 48 of them, they quit coming to me in the car. I had started scheduling trips I didn't need to take, but it was over. So I thought in the song, somehow it seemed that each line of the song and the verses needed to refer to the rhymes and add a little information. So there's 48 rhymes. There are 12 four-line verses in the song. That's 48 lines. And so writing and recording that, playing all the parts, that was about a 9-month project.
And now it's out, and you're getting rave reviews, I understand.
Yes. Modesty almost prohibits me from recounting them, but not quite. We got a very positive review the other week from Publishers Weekly. Midwest Book Review called it destined to be a timeless classic, and so we didn't have any quarrel with either of those.
And before the interview, you were telling me about the Lexington Herald?
Yes. Rich Copley, the arts editor at the Lexington Herald Leader, was down at Minnie's. He met us down there this past Friday, and he's writing a story, even as we speak, that will be in Saturday's Lexington Herald Leader.
Well, that's exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So music is an integral part of this process.
Yes. As I said, the first book was a song before it was a book, and I've been, I guess what you'd call a day job musician all my life. So I wrote, I've been writing songs of one kind or another since I was about 11. So the songwriting really came before the book writing. But I love both parts of it. But for every book, there's a song.
Are you still teaching?
No, I've been retired from center. I still have an office there. We call it Jurassic Park, where some of us old-timers come. But I do the books full-time, and I do programs with children at libraries and museums and bookstores, and always the music is a part of the music and storytelling.
Would you mind reading one of your pieces?
I'd be happy to.
The Mommy Had to Mop?
Well, that one goes like this. The kitchen was dirty. Mommy had to mop. She cleaned every crumb. She wouldn't stop. Then she sat at the table and drunk her a pop.
A pop. That's very Eastern Kentucky.
That's that. To me, it's interesting you chose that one. I grew up in Jackson County. And if you, Eastern Kentucky, I can tell sometimes people are from different counties. If you're not familiar with the accent, it all sounds the same. But these rhymes try to capture that flavor of Eastern Kentucky language. But they also, Mommy Goose is a big character in the book. And if you grew up in Appalachia, in southern Appalachia, and when you come out into the wider world, you learn very quickly that your dialect is not celebrated. But Mommy Goose says that the way you talk, your birthright dialect should be honored. But she goes on and says, you need to learn all you can about words because they're the common currency of everything we do, and that'll help you succeed. And that could be summarized in the opening rhyme. I guess it's about Mommy Goose, like you'd see on the dust jacket of a novel about the author. It says, Mommy Goose is an Appalachian bird. Like cows love corn, she loves words. She says corn can be yellow, blue, or white, and words change colors in different light. To talk like your flock is no disgrace. Just use the right word in the right place.
And talk about with the Mommy Had to Mop on that page. At the bottom of the page, there's a piece of word. I mean, a piece of wood.
Well, it is. It's wood-like. And I'll be confessing, I guess, to a minor crime by explaining this to you, but since I'm a good way from home, I'll go ahead and do that. When I was putting the book together, the character of Mommy Goose emerged very strongly as the sort of glue that holds it all together. And I told you that rhyme about her talking about the two themes, the worth of your birthright dialect and the power of words. And she comes in every four or five pages to make a comment. But I wanted her comments to be associated with the carving Minnie did of the Mommy Goose figure and not set in type. So I wrote them, and then I wanted to get Minnie to write them on some material that would be organic and appropriate for her medium that she works in. And so I looked all around, and then I went outside, couldn't think of anything, and I spied this big shaggy bark birch tree that my neighbor has. Well, I have to confess, she was gone to work. I just slipped over and stripped off a bunch of strips of it. And they've somewhat grown back now. And I took them to Isonville in Ellett County, where Minnie lives, and she wrote them. And then in the photography, which I did all the photography and page layout with a little putty. It appears that Mommy Goose is holding those birch bark rhymes in her beak.
And could you share what the rhyme is on that piece?
Well, let me see. There are different ones, but they all have to do with words. Yes, in that one, she says, some words strike home. Some are glancing. Some make you moan. Some set you dancing.
Could you share also the story about the raccoons?
Yes, that was one of the first rhymes that we had. And I will say that about 4 years ago, my wife and I moved to Lexington, to the city. But there's a strip of woods behind our house. And I guess it's a refuge for animals. So very soon we realized that not only had we moved in, but the raccoons had moved in the attic. They were having a grand time throwing the insulation up in the air, chewing through the wires. And so long story short, since we've been there, we've had to have 12 raccoons relocated. But one thing I noticed about them when I would look at them in the cage, their hands are just very human. With an opposable thumb, and they're very handy. And I would devise methods to keep them from getting under the house or in the attic, and invariably they would solve it. Well, Mommy Goose says, the other thing I'll tell you about this quickly is that our neighbor is quite a gardener, and he raises peppers and tomatoes and all kinds of neat things, but he's very proud of his corn. He loves corn. So do the raccoons. And when they come over to eat it, I don't think Wally would be too upset if they just ate a couple of cobs thoroughly and left, but they will take about two bites out, throw it down, and then another one, and they ruin all his corn. And I see him out there just standing there, and you can almost see the steam coming off of him. But Mommy Goose says, the raccoons ate up all our corn, climbed in the car and honked the horn. They played the radio and danced and tried on Grandpa's underpants. With handy hands like me and you, there's not a lot they can't do. If how it goes is how it went, they'll own the place and we'll pay rent.
Oh, that's so much fun. And there are four of Minnie's carvings on that page, I mean, with that story.
Actually, I think that she ended up doing six raccoons plus the car, plus we, of course, have Grandpa's underpants.
Those are really fun. Where are those carvings now?
Well, they're at my house in the shop. And sometimes when we go around to do programs, Minnie will come with me sometimes. And I will tell you this little story. Sometimes we'll do assemblies for school children. And Minnie has been carving since she was five. And she wouldn't mind me telling you that she's 81 now. So that's a lot of experience. And she uses a soft wood called Linwood. And when she carves it, she's so fast, at first you just think she's whittling it to nothing. And then very quickly, you go, oh, that's a bear, that's a fox, that's a rooster. So while I'll tell stories and do the songs, she'll be carving. And we'll always get the name of some child that could maybe use a little boost, a little recognition, a little excitement. And at some point, while I'm talking, Minnie will interrupt me. This is almost like vaudeville, and I'll be very irritated. Minnie, please, I'm trying to talk here. I'm sorry, Mike, but I've just got, this fox is telling me something. I go, Minnie, they talk in the books, but now you know they don't really talk in real life. And she goes, well, you see what you think. And so she'll bring it over and stick the fox she's carved in my ear. And of course, I'll get a surprised expression, and I'll say, is there a Susie Sizemore in the audience? And some little girl will look, stand up and go, I'm Susie Sizemore. And I said, well, this fox says it wants to go home with you. Would you like to have it? And invariably, Susie would. And so we do those. And sometimes we'll take the figures, not all of them. Minnie did more than 100 carvings for Mommy Goose. But we'll take some of them and let them, you know, the kids see them. We'll show them the page and then show them how they were set up to be photographed. But we can't let the little boys get too close because they want to grab them and play with them like toy soldiers or something.
And you're going to be coming to the area on March 12th, on Saturday, March 12th, at the Joseph Beth Bookseller store in Crestview Hills.
That's right. That's right.
So, and that's going to start at 10:30 in the morning. What's that going to be like?
Well, we're going to start off with a blues song. I usually ask the children if they have a favorite animal, and they'll tell me that they do. And I'll tell them about a while back I got to thinking about, you know, the animals do so much for us. We get our eggs from the chickens and milk from the cows, and the horses let us ride on them, and dogs and cats keep us company. But we don't ever pay the animals any money at all. What would happen if all of a sudden they wanted to be paid? And so we'll do the song Barnyard Blues, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And then I'll show them a big book called Oh Appalachia that's got many pictures in it. Shows her carving, because I want them to get a sense that these are not just drawings and paintings. And then we'll read the story of the bright blue rooster, and then we'll sing the song. And then we'll turn to a non-farm animal. You go out to feed the chickens or the pigs or the cows, but you don't usually go out to feed the monkeys. But we'll do Sonny the Monkey. We read that story and sing that song. And there's some opportunities for audience participation in the Sonny the Monkey. And then we turn to Mommy Goose, and we usually end with the Mommy Goose song. Now, I will need to tell you this quickly about Mommy Goose. Mommy Goose makes a promise to the children that if they learn her rhymes as children and remember them when they get old and they come to their into their minds and they say them, that they become young again. Now, I told this to an audience the other day at the Children's Museum in Lexington. One little girl said, what? She wasn't buying it. But that idea, when I got through, I realized it came from my 97-year-old mother, who still lives in her townhouse and still walks on the treadmill every day. But she is 97, and so she'll get on there and she'll go, I'm tired. I'm just going to do 2 or 3 minutes. And I'll go, there was a little girl, and she'll perk up and she'll say, who had a little curl smack in the middle of her forehead. When she was good, she was very, very good. But when she was bad, she was horrid. And she looks like a little girl. You can see that in her face, and she'll start talking about growing up in Estill County, and she'll walk 15 or 20 minutes. So in that sense, I do think, and I think that we do far too little memorization in school. I think that the things that we commit to our minds and especially to our hearts, the things that we love, they can transport us when we get old. And so that's Mommy's promise. Well, at the end of the song, it begins, it says, when you listen to Mommy Goose, you may forget the words she said, but 40 years later, they're still in your head, in your heart, and on your tongue. You'll be in the hills and young. Listen to Mommy Goose. And at the very end, it slows down, and there's the chorus. Mommy Goose, Mommy Goose, when she gets a hold, she don't turn loose. Well, I had recorded all that with three-part harmony and hand claps. I thought I had it real perfect. And then I realized about 3 o'clock in the morning that that was wrong, and I was going to have to erase it because Mommy promises that the rhymes will make you young again. So I needed old people to start singing that chorus, and then as they sung it, I needed their voices to morph in to young children. So that took, and I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to erase it, am I? And I guess Mommy Goose said, yes, you are. And so I got 6 men and 6 women from the Lexington Senior Citizen Center, and we went down and we rehearsed, and they got a special van because 2 of them had wheelchairs, and they brought them out to my home studio, and we recorded it. And then I went up to the Hindman Settlement School, where I would go for many years at the Appalachian Folk Week and teach a guitar or harmonica course. And Randy Wilson, who works on the staff there, he had rehearsed 3 first-grade classes at Carr Creek Elementary, and I took all my gear up, and we recorded them, and I mixed them together. So at the end of the Mommy Goose song, you will hear the old people becoming young again.
Oh, well, we're going to include that at the end of this interview so everybody will get to hear it.
Good.
And I wanted to also mention quickly that you're going to be appearing another book signing at a bookstore down in Moorhead on March the 5th, and Minnie's going to be there, which will be pretty special because the Kentucky Folk Art Museum is there, so people can go over there and see some of her work also.
Exactly. There's a whole Minnie Adkins room in the Kentucky Folk Art Museum, and Minnie, I love it when she comes with me, but Minnie will be the first to tell you, it takes a lot to get me out of the holler these days, but that will be a special one. And I've already told her to have her wood and her knife, her case knife, with her because we want to surprise some little girl or boy at that event.
That'd be a great road trip for any of our listeners.
It would. And Moorhead is a very interesting town. I was just reading a short story by Chris Offit that's set in Moorhead, and you know, Eastern Kentucky is, contrary to some of its public image, is a very literary area. I used to, at the Hindman Settlement School, you'd sit on the front porch and there would be James Steele, Gene Ritchie, and Jim Wayne Miller. Just a very rich area in culture, so a trip to Moorhead is always worthwhile.
Well, thanks for coming by tonight.
I've enjoyed it.
We've been talking with Mike Norris about his book, Mommy Goose, Rhymes from the Mountains, with carved illustrations by Minnie Adkins. You'll find a link at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Lee Hay.
When you listen to Mommy Goose, you may forget the words she said, but 40 years later, they're still in your head, in your heart, and on your tongue. You'll be in the hills and young. Listen to Mommy Goose. How the rooster caught the croup, the June bug yearning for his youth. Lester finally told the truth. What made Daddy squall and whoop? Tell me, tell me, tell me. What it was a penny bought, how the keep kept what she thought. Hammer hit as he was taught. Billy hated he got caught. Tell me, tell me, tell me.
the pot in need of prayer. A little Mary loved her hair. Mommy fell right over there. A raccoon wearing underwear. Tell me, Mommy Goose. Mommy Goose, Mommy Goose. When she gets a hole, she don't turn loose. You could run away, but what's the use? Listen to Mommy Goose. Why ain't Sal burned the beans? Why the cat was looking lean? The kudzu goes from brown to green. How Harley thought his house was clean. Tell me, tell me, tell me what it was Sam Young sold. How the cold dust took a toll. Springtime is the coldest cold. How the words will grab a hold. Tell me, tell me, tell me how the old man made a face. Fleetwood begged to take a taste. The table laid with Queen Anne's lace. And Daddy gone when we'd say grace. Tell me, Mommy Goose. Mommy Goose, Mommy Goose. When she gets a hole, she don't turn loose. You could run away, but what's the use? Listen to Mommy Goose. About the boy who bit his tongue, short and long, the cows would come. Mommy cleaning every crumb. What she did when she got done. Tell me, tell me, tell me how we pestered Uncle Ed. That night you chose me instead. The bluebird doubled up her thread. Johnny Hicks sat up in bed. Tell me, tell me, tell me. Cockle-dee-coo, little-dee-low. Lizzie finally stole the show. The boy who wouldn't say hello. Hello passes to and fro. Tell me, Mommy Goose. Mommy Goose, Mommy Goose. When she gets a hold, she don't turn loose. She could run away, but what's the use? Listen to Mommy Goose. The door was left behind. Why feathers fall below the lines. 2 cents extra if it rhymes. What the hoot owl said 3 times. Tell me, tell me, tell me how a kite climbs in the wind. Morning that the girls step in. Knock hail drew 5 to 10. How the rooster met his end. Tell me, tell me, tell me. So fiddle low, fiddle high, while the dog eats chest pie. The speckled hen goes running by. Whatever is in short supply. Tell me, Mommy Goose. Now Mommy's words will stray and fade, but when you call, they come at a run. In memory they march on parade, and Mommy names them every day.